Deacon and Dad.
Okay, we had a little trouble coming up with an agenda this week because we realized both of us are just tired. We're tired of avoiding news about Agent Orange. We're tired of our friends of Little Color who keep asking us, how did this happen? And so we're just trying to come up with some things to talk about, sort of what's bothering both of us. So
I want to talk about the media.
Okay.
And the fact that I believe that they are just playing into the hands of Agent Orange. So they're just, as soon as the election was over, they were all commenting and lamenting on how they may have messed up and they didn't give equal coverage to the candidates, and then immediately began the same behavior. That's all they talk about is, yeah. Well, here in America, talking about American press.
They do the same thing in Europe. I listen to a lot of European and other foreign news, and all they're talking about is Agent Orange as well.
Right. So what's the difference? Now, the way we were trained was to talk about facts. Find the facts, verify the facts, try to be unbiased, just report the news.
Okay, yeah.
And now it's just really about entertainment.
Well, it is about entertainment, and to me it's also about laziness and about ceding editorial control. I mean, all during the campaign, especially during the Republican campaign, Agent Orange would come on and they would give him airtime. They would do all his speeches. They didn't do John Kasich's speeches for free. Right. They didn't do Jeb Bush's speeches without him. I'm just talking about this because there were 17 Republicans candidates, and they all went through this sort of being swamped over by Trump. Because, as you said, it was entertainment. And so it was like, hey, what outrageous thing is he going to say now? Now, the difference, if I was a news executive now, the first thing I do is just nothing goes on the air unedited. Mm-hmm. You know, our job is to look at what he said. Did he say anything new? Or is this the same old stump speech? Now, you know, I've covered campaigns.
Right.
And I'm telling you, after about the third or fourth day covering a candidate, you can recite the stump speech verbatim. You can sit there and mouth the words as he's saying or she's saying them, because they don't change it much. The only thing they change, it's like a rock band. Hey Cleveland, you know. Hey Atlanta, you know, and you just play the same, and then you play the same music. You know,
it's their set list.
It's their hits list.
It's their set list.
Okay, and depending on where we are, we may change the playlist a little bit.
Right. Okay, change some location names.
Change the location names, yeah. You know, cut and paste. But the problem that I kept seeing is I'm seeing this guy playing to the crowd, saying whatever they want to hear, and being put on television live, unedited, uncensored, with nobody saying, okay, he gave a two-hour speech, here are the salient points that he said. You know, we're going to build a wall, we're going to lock her up. And
that's what he said.
And keep the Muslims out. Okay? So there's nothing new that he said. So now let's talk about some of the other candidates. You know, let's talk about John Kasich. Why, even though he's on abortion, he's doesn't have a great record, but he's an administrator, he's a governor, he's been a congressman, he's got a really good resume.
He's got some experience.
Okay, and then,
whether you agree with it or not, he is qualified for the position.
I'm saying let's delve into his background. But the point is, you got 17 candidates, and you got this one guy who's like a master showman, and everybody knows he's a master showman, and he keeps taking advantage of it. And you go, wow, how did he do that trick? He's an illusionist. Why are you asking how he does it?
That's a good analogy.
You know, just let's not. Okay, so that's
but so the, how did how do you think the press is it's really because they're beholden to their advertisers.
No, see, that's everybody gets okay. into. You're beholden to your advertisers because you want to get viewers.
Right.
Okay.
So what this, gets viewers? This is sensationalistic
yeah,
news.
Yeah. So this is easy. You know, you don't have to do any programming. You don't have to hire extra editors. I mean, hell, you could lay some people off and it wouldn't make any difference. So that was the thing that just frustrated me because I was saying, like, this guy just said something and it's not true.
Right.
Now, you know, okay, I'm old school and I, you know, you don't want to call a guy a liar. But you
but
do want to fact check. But you do want to fact check. You can say, well, he says this, but the evidence
true.
And 16 studies and 3 congressional things and 14 nonpartisan groups, both Republicans and Democrats, says that his take on it is not factually correct. You know?
And then, so that's, but does that, as the press, is that their, does that in their responsibility? They've
yes,
reported the fact that he's
yes,
the,
it is
he's factually incorrect.
Yes, it is. But you don't have to, I mean, I know there's, within the press corps, there was all this discussion of, can we call him a liar and flat out and say he's lying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's, the old perception is, look let's just present the facts. He said this,
but the facts suggest
his,
otherwise.
Yes, yeah, or studies, or other people who have credibility, and, you know, if he goes says climate change is a hoax, and you go, 183 countries have signed on to the climate change, the Paris Accords. Every reputable scientist has said that climate change is real. And so him saying this is not true. And then when he says, I watched thousands of Muslims in Jersey City
right.
cheering, and you go, we can find no evidence of this. We've searched, we've looked at the videos, we can't find any evidence that this happened.
Right.
And then, but in some ways, the genius of Agent Orange is that he can look at you and say, you know, it's, excuse me, so that did not happen. And he goes, yes, it did. Okay, maybe I was wrong about being in Jersey City, but there were some Muslims who were cheering.
There was. And they
okay.
still let him get away with that.
Yes.
Okay, next question.
Yes, next question. You know, or then he says, see, there's the lying press again. You know,
the most dishonest people.
So, I mean, he's like...
The press just seems to keep following him around. They even had that big interview.
Okay.
Or not the interview. They called all these press people into his office.
Yeah.
I was like, what did you guys expect?
I you know, he doesn't... He's changed the rules for how politicians act. But it should not have meant that the press changed its way of doing
right.
things. And a lot of them have.
Right.
I mean, the print media tends to do it a little better. But on television, and you know, I spent a good chunk of my career in television. I spent another good chunk in print. But I can't imagine when I was trained in television, no way that guy would have gotten that much airtime without you doing, you know, here's the headline. I mean, even on...
Would they have even reported it?
Oh, yeah, no.
The fact
no,
that he's...
No, you have to report it.
Okay.
No, you have to report it.
But they wouldn't have given him all his airtime.
I wouldn't have given all that free airtime because we would have been doing, okay, this is what he said. Now, even if you did the minimum of going to the other candidates and said, Agent Orange said this today, but try to parcel out the airtime because you've got plenty of airtime now. It's not like... When I worked on network television, and I got a minute and a half to do the biggest story of the day.
Right.
Because we only had 22 minutes of airtime.
Right.
So you got to squeeze that stuff in. Now, I got a 24-hour cable newscast. So
you
I don't have to cram
some,
this. I don't have to cram. Yeah. So I don't have to cram a 2-minute report on the major news story. I can stretch this out. I can go and do some background check. I can go ask some other people. Because if I don't get them this hour, I can get them next hour and say, well, you know, we're trying to track this story down and we'll be back in the next hour with more on this, what he said, and we will have some different viewpoints. So there's not like you can't fill the time. you can certainly fill the time.
Yeah, that's true. They have no shortage of people willing to come on and
yes,
give their opinions.
And also, because of the nature of our podcast and two generations of black men looking at the world through our vantage point, I get so tired of seeing four old white men on a panel
mm-hmm.
talking about black people, talking about Muslims, and talking about the war on ISIS, and talking about Brexit, and most of these guys have not been out of the country in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have no background, or they're very clear on their take, which I don't mind. You know, if you got a viewpoint, that's okay.
Right.
But I just get, I got, it's like, why are these people, I mean, it is not hard if you're going to be talking about Black Lives Matter and you can't find two black people with different opinions, you know, one pro and one con, but people with some semblance of debate nuance. I know a couple of weeks ago I stopped giving up on nuance. I'm just going into my grumpy old black man mode. And that's still going to come out a lot. But there's a point at which it's like I can have a conversation with another black man who thinks that the Black Lives Movement is not helpful. And I can talk to some, but we're not getting into, but both of us have experience in being black.
Right, so that's not a, you mean, so, are you talking about in terms of shouting matches? Or
yeah,
just people,
yeah. You know, the shouting matches and the people who just clearly are out there for the publicity and have not thought of, I mean, that sheriff from Milwaukee, I mean, you know, it's like, I know, I mean, okay.
Now, also, this could reflect the way society is now. I mean, we can call it ratchet TV or reality TV has been such a big hit for the past, you know,
20 years now. 20 years.
Sure. Sure. Okay, 20 years. So have people, that is what this, our society and our culture is used to.
You gotta have, we gotta flip the table. Somebody's gotta flip
right.
the table.
Exactly. Like, someone's gotta flip the table. So that's where it is now.
Okay.
So that's what Agent Orange did. He flipped the table. But the press seemed to forget. Well, they just played into it because they seem to be following social media where it's just whatever is happening is put up. There's no fact check.
Well,
there's no filter.
There's no filter, and there's also some people just don't. Like if you make a joke, okay, now see, I think jokes are funny. If they're funny, they're funny. Now, I may look at the underlying either tastelessness of it or the racism inherent in it or some other stuff. But I've heard some really funny jokes from some sketchy people. So I'm going to accept that was funny, but your view is really
it's
bad.
Messed up,
that's messed up. You know, you're sort of laughing. It's like, man, that was messed up.
Yeah. There's a dichotomy in that.
Right. So, but you recognize that this guy told a joke and that his craftsmanship as a comedian, he told a joke. It was funny. You didn't agree with the premise, but it was funny. So now it's in politics. You make a statement.
Or a tasteless joke.
A tasteless joke, and people can, but they don't say that was funny or that's an interesting perspective, but they don't come back and say that was sketchy.
That was sketchy.
You know,
what
that
you
was
mean?
Sketchy. What did you mean? You know, I mean, come on, man. You know.
Or actually, maybe, like you said, they actually did try. They said, hey, okay, this was factually incorrect. This is incorrect. But and he simply said, well, okay, maybe, but so what?
But I heard, like, the vice president of news for MSNBC, and they would do all these focus groups, and they asked these people about, you know, some of the stuff that Agent Orange had said. And it's like, no, you know that's not true. And it's like, yeah, you know. Well, doesn't that bother? No.
Right. So then.
Like, he's talking about me getting a job. You know, I don't care that he's trying to keep Muslims out of the country or that he wants to.
Didn't care about his lying about anything.
Yeah, you know, he said he's going to give me jobs.
That's all they heard.
That's all they heard. That's all they care about. And then they hear people, he's repeating the phrase, and it's an echo chamber. Lock her up.
Right.
Lock her. For what?
Yeah, for what?
You know, but it gets into the. It's into the water, you know. It's like the back in the 50s when the right wing thought that the communists were poisoning America by putting chlorine in the water.
Right.
You know. So forget the science that it strengthens your teeth and it makes the enamel in your bones stronger. But oh my God, you're putting this stuff in the water.
People who want to keep their power aren't interested in facts. Or at least aren't interested in disseminating facts. They need to disseminate information in which keeps them in power.
Yeah, and it's just, I shake my head because I've gone through these weeks since the election, and I'm trying to get my energy back, so I'm sort of like, oh, okay, now if I don't talk about it,
maybe it's not real.
No, I know it's real. No, see, I'm accepting the reality. What I'm trying to do is like, I used to, at one point when I was in college, I was studying psychology, and I stopped studying psychology because I realized that I was just nosy, just wanted to pry into people's business. So what socially acceptable job can I get to be nosy?
To be nosy. I became a reporter.
I became a reporter.
Would have never thought of you as nosy, but that's
yeah, that's,
you just want to know what's going on.
I want to know what's going on. I want to tell people. I'm a gossip.
You want to tell people. You're just gossiping.
I don't want to get constrained.
But you're not the crazy old man in the neighborhood.
Right. I'm not getting constrained by the ethics of patient confidentiality. I want to tell people. Did you see this yet?
Right. Did you see this?
I'm telling you, this was fucked up.
That is your MO. Finally comes out. Dad is just nosy and wants to tell people.
Okay. See, but that's my self revelation. I know that's me.
Yeah.
So I can, now that I know my crazy, I can contain it.
All right.
You know.
All right.
You know, maybe I need to go to therapy or maybe I need to take some medication, but I know, okay. That's my crazy. I'm cool with it.
You know, as long as you're exposing the world to the evils and going on, that you're putting your powers to good use. Okay. Like you said, what socially acceptable career can I use this for? There you go. You found it.